Hello, Vinny.
Hello, Laura. How are you?
I'm great. Where are you sat in the world?
I am in a basement with a microphone under a duvet.
Oh, it's where I've always seen you.
It's very warlike. How are you? Well, so many questions. First of all, where are you? And then how are you?
Well, I'm in our flat in Plaistow. It's a boiling hot day and we're in a fifth floor flat. And I've already been out once today. So that's that for me.
Oh, coping?
Coping and helping other people in Club Soda who are struggling right now with what is the strangest circumstance. So this is why this podcast has come early for everybody and why we've got some great stuff for you to hear.
Yeah, I'm quite excited to hear an additional one. A lot of people have been asking for a little bit more content to fill their days. What have we got coming up on this one?
Well, this is a very special podcast. I've reached out to that whole big sober community on Instagram, on Facebook, and offering programs all across the world. And I've asked for people for short snippets of advice about how to get through this period alcohol-free, what to do if you're finding if you're drinking a lot more, and even what they're drinking right now to get them through this crisis.
Amazing. Okay, so where do we start?
Some people have sent in some recordings because, as you know, this is a crowdsourced program and some I interviewed. So everybody's answered the same basic questions, but not all of them you were here. So I thought, Vinny, maybe you could ask me the questions first of all, and I will give you my worldly wisdom.
OK, that's a good idea. So I'm going to ask you these questions and they'll be the same questions that will be answered by various other people. So I actually genuinely want to know your answers to these and... If these aren't the answers, dear listener, that you want, then keep listening because you'll be hearing lots of various answers from people with these same questions. Let's get going. So first of all, who are you? What do you do? And how can people find you?
Well, I'm Laura Willoughby. I'm the co-founder of Club Soda. We're a mindful drinking movement. So whether you're just sober curious or looking to take a break from drinking, looking to moderate or go alcohol free, we've got all the tools that you need and you can find them on joinclubsoda.com and you can find us on Instagram and Twitter and at joinclubsoda. So do poke around our whole website. There's lots of advice on there for you.
Second question, how are you coping with the emotions and, let's be honest, some of the boredom of the lockdown?
Well, I hear a lot of people talking about the fact that they're doing lots of exercise and they're eating well and they're meditating every day. And to be honest, what I've been doing a lot more is accepting that sometimes I'm going to be really sad and discombobulated. And that's allowed. I think somehow we all think we're going to have come out of this whole process with as a perfect person. But that's not easy when you've got high emotions. And you may find you're eating more or you may find that you're thinking about drinking more and that's come earlier in the day for you. So for me, whilst I am trying to exercise, I am trying to eat really well. I'm also accepting the fact that you're allowed to be miserable. So I am sitting with my emotions, as they say, and wallowing a little bit. And allowing myself to do that.
You've been completely alcohol free for how many years now?
For 8 years, so it doesn't really cross my mind anymore.
This is the question that I was going to ask you, and this is a question that you'll be asking various other people. I think for you it's slightly more simple, but I'll ask you, have you found yourself, even 8 years down the road, thinking about alcohol and consuming it more at this stressful time?
My mind no longer goes to alcohol as the first response to anything emotional or even extreme happiness. But I have to let you all know that that took 3 years before that final sort of mental severing had happened. But that doesn't mean that I don't think about it still. And occasionally it pops into my head in really random and really strange ways. And I'm like, where did that come from? Why am I suddenly thinking, well, maybe I could have a glass of red wine now? And so whenever I do have that thought, it's as a curiosity rather than as an order. And I'm always interested in how that happens. Like I think you might hear through some of the interviews, I do have drinking dreams still all the time. And I dream that I'm getting other people drunk. I'm a terribly bad influence in my sleep.
Wow, still?
Yeah.
And have you noticed that slightly heightened under the lockdown or not?
No, a lot of people are talking about the fact they're getting very much more vivid dreams during lockdown. Ever since giving up drinking, I've had far more vivid dreams anyway, and mainly because I can probably remember them, which is, you know, that's drink all round, isn't it? So I do have vivid dreams. And like I say, I sometimes dream that I'm getting certain Club Soda members drunk. It's hilarious and a relief when I wake up in the morning.
Okay. I'm getting more sleep, and I think that's probably reflective on the general population. So I'm getting more dreams just because I'm banging out more Zeds.
That's true.
What is your advice, and this one I'm really interested in, and I think a lot of people are, what's your advice for people that are finding themselves at home and drinking more than they would like?
Well, put some boundaries around it. So a bit like I'd advise you if you're moderating drinking, begin to think about, first of all, think about the drinks that you really enjoy and the people you enjoy drinking with. And of course, you may be missing those right now. And then set yourself a plan and say, well, okay, I'm definitely not going to drink before 7 p.m. in the evening. I'm only going to drink when I'm doing an online dinner with a friend or speaking to a certain person who I enjoy having that convivial drink with. I'm going to limit my number of drinks. Often easier said than done, particularly if you've got, you know, a cupboard full of alcohol. But you may still, just like you would if you were going out, start your evening with a few alcohol-free drinks and only have an alcoholic drink a bit later in the evening. Don't think that alcohol is going to be your saviour for getting to sleep, right? Because we do know that it disrupts sleep. So don't use sleep as an excuse. And then set yourself some rules based on that knowledge. You know, I'm not going to drink on Monday to Thursday, just like you would during normal times. Not drinking before 7 p.m. Set it as a rule. And it's a non-negotiable rule. It's a rule that you need to keep yourself fit and healthy during this period. There are other techniques you could use, like maybe lowering the, like I said, lowering the ABV of your drink, or even starting your evening with two alcohol-free drinks and then deciding if you really do want a drink that evening, or you'd rather get an early night rather than having an extended evening in front of the telly, which often happens if you're drinking alcohol, you stay up later than you intend. Exercise is a good one. Maybe moving your exercise to the evening, having a bath. Lots of people talk about meditation. It's not right for everybody. It's not right for me. But I find I get some of those benefits by doing exercise instead. So, you know, you have to find the thing that works for you, but don't, you know, the last thing you want is to come out of lockdown after 3 to 5 weeks and find that you're tired and depressed and feeling generally really unhealthy and achy from having just, you know, wallowed using alcohol every night.
So what alcohol-free drink is getting you through this slightly challenging time?
Well, I have to say, I went and cleared out our office of all the real kombucha. I'm a big naturally flavoured kombucha fan, and so that's what's in there. I have also been using Three Spirits Nightcap, which is an evening drink that's got some herbs that promote sleep. I have my sleepy tea. And then, as some people may know, I'm a complete tea buff. I'm a big fan of a single estate loose leaf tea. I've been brewing a different tea in a Yingxing teapot every day. It's a Chinese clay teapot. You season that teapot with the tea that you use most regularly in it. So I've got a different pot for each type of tea. So a different pot for long gin, a different pot for pura, a different pot for green. You're with me, aren't you, Vinny? I can tell you're absolutely with me.
I used to think I was middle class and then I met you.
Well, I have a picture of I can get through a week and a half using a different pot to brew a different tea in. And I have invested some money in tea from my favourite dealers.
They are Laura's answers. But let's find out from our mass of people what their answers are. So who have we got coming up, Laura?
Yeah, so first of all, we have Holly Whitaker. She's written a book called Quit Like a Woman, but she's also been long in the scene. She's somebody I followed from a very early stage. She ran a blog called Hip Sobriety, and she's now got an online programme called Tempest. She is, I have great admiration for her stance on different types of recovery and systems to help different types of people change their drinking. And so you can hear from her now.
My name is Holly Whitaker, and I am the author of Quit Like a Woman, and also the CEO and founder of Tempest, a modern digital recovery solution. Oh, goodness. How am I? I think that I'm coping with it, drawing on my lessons in recovery. I think the most important thing that we learn in recovery is awareness, is how to be present in really difficult and painful situations, how to remain with ourselves and to let things move through us. And for me, this has really been a process of realizing, you know, what I don't have control over, and also realizing what I do, which is my reaction to this. And my reaction to this is the same as I think most of ours, which is shock and grief and confusion and being a little stir crazy and just, I think, dealing with something that is really hard to process. And in this, I have returned to the tools of my recovery, a morning ritual that includes hot lemon water, meditation, lots of gratitude lists, lots of positive affirmations, moving my body. I started to train for a marathon on an app, not something that I do normally. I'm not a runner, but I've used essentially this is an opportunity to, again, further my ability to stay, my ability to allow things to move through me. And I've used this really as I would say, an experience to make more of myself, or at least make more of my ability to be with myself. Have you found yourself thinking about alcohol more at all through this stressful time? No, that's not really my thing. I think I have conquered alcohol in a way that it's just not an option, and it doesn't come up as something that I may or may not do. That has come from a lot of work with my core beliefs around what alcohol does and doesn't do. I'm thinking about alcohol the same I'm thinking about, you know, texting a boyfriend from 10 years ago. I'm not thinking about it. It's not part of my daily existence. What I have struggled with, though, is eating. I have a history of eating disorders and having to make food for myself, being around food all day, you know, being bored and using food as a way to, you know, not nurture myself or not nourish myself, but nurture myself. I think that this has just required, again, that vigilance of asking myself why I'm doing something. And also, again, finding other healthy outlets. I've done a lot of work around freeing myself from the need to immediately use alcohol to numb. I use other things, you know, Netflix, I use Instagram, or, you know, and those things are where I have to call awareness to. Am I using this right now in a healthy way? And checking out sometimes is healthy. Using Netflix is not a bad thing. It's just overusing it, right? And understanding when we start to violate ourselves. Look, I think that there's no perfect time to address a drinking problem. Throughout the history of addiction, people have found themselves in many different situations abusing a substance and coming to a reckoning with that. I think it's really important to understand there is a process to how people recover. And the first is absolutely having no idea that they have a problem at all, coming into an awareness around the fact that they may or may not have a problem, and then finally having a reckoning moment with that. If you find that you are drinking more than you would like to, that's a really good thing. It's a positive thing. You're starting to draw awareness where there was not awareness before. And so I think the first thing is to allow yourself to recognize it, allow yourself to put a name to it, and then to start to work with that. The first steps in starting to change your relationship with alcohol is to start to identify it. And then from there, I think it's starting to put tools in place around it. I recommend starting, you know, very gently with perhaps reading and understanding more about alcohol. I love Annie Grace's work, This Naked Mind. There are a lot of wonderful Quitlet memoirs and self-help books around alcohol. So starting to educate yourself. And then I think another thing is just starting to add in some healthy coping mechanisms. So perhaps meditating, practicing and learning how to meditate right now. This is a really beautiful time for us to start to learn how to be with ourselves in discomfort. And so adding in something like that. And then there's also starting to look for measures to address it, right? So perhaps joining a support group, perhaps reaching out to a friend that you know that's been through addiction and recovery. There's a lot of different ways to go. You can go to my old blog, hipsobriety.com, and you can read through kind of from beginning to end my entire experience of this. Or you can, you know, pick up my book, and that also has a lot of ideas around how to start addressing and working within. But I think it's important to remember, if it's coming up now, this is just a time for you to take a step in the direction toward addressing. This is not, you know, coming up with some sort of, you know, masochistic plan to, you know, hurt yourself into not drinking. It's being gentle. It's just knowing that when we start to take different steps, we start to change our reality. People can find us at jointempest.com. They can also find us on Instagram at jointempest or at the temper, or they can find me at Holly.
So next we have the awesome Emily from Sober and Social.
Hello, my name is Emily Seifus and I'm the founder of Sober and Social, and we create a sober community through sober events. And to find us would be at sober_and_social on Instagram, and it was my 2-year soberversary yesterday.
That's fantastic. So your soberversary is in the middle of a global lockdown. How does that feel?
I mean, it's quite different from last year when I was on a stag do in Manchester. So I've had quite the opposites of my milestones. So yeah, I celebrated with a piece of cake and a cup of tea.
Because I still think 2 years, although it feels like a long time to some people, 2 years, my brain still occasionally, when I was at high anxiety, would stray back to alcohol. Have you found that at all? Have you thought, sod it, I'm sat here on my own, you know, I'm not working at the minute, I'm just going to treat myself and have something to drink?
I would be lying if I said those thoughts didn't cross my mind, but they are not anything that I would ever act on, because I do think I would just be throwing my 2 years of sobriety away. And actually, for me, in a situation like this, I wouldn't be gaining anything from drinking. And from previous experiences, and the reason why I gave up alcohol, which I always relate back to, would always be the reason why I would never kind of break my sobriety in a time like this. But when the sun is shining and you don't have work, sometimes you do think, oh, you know, maybe a glass of champagne would be nice. But ultimately, it wouldn't do any good.
I mean, I think that's interesting, because you recognise that you've had the thought, but you're not acting on it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, if people say that they don't think about that kind of like early in their sobriety, I just don't know if that is true for the majority of people. I think there are still times that are more triggering than others. And ultimately, your default of how you've learned to deal with alcohol and situations was to drink. So, you know, I kind of think I've only been 2 years sober versus 16 years of drinking. So it's not surprising that sometimes I do come back to those thoughts in my mind.
And actually, I'm nearly 8 years, and occasionally it surprises me as well. But again, it's a thought and not a command.
So. Yeah, definitely. I think it's fascinating when people still kind of have that, not struggle, but those thoughts and almost that talk in their head when they have actually not drunk for so long.
Do you still get drinking dreams? I do.
Yeah, I do. And quite full-on ones, actually. And I have to say, I really enjoy them.
Yeah, I dream that I'm getting Club Soda members drunk. It's really odd. So it's not that I'm just getting myself drunk. I am leading other people. It's very, very weird. So what would your advice be to people at the minute who are in early stages, are stuck at home, boredom may be seeping in, as well as anxiety around the situation? What's your advice to people around how to deal with that?
I think definitely get a strong morning routine in place. I think that's really important, whether you're in, you know, the real world or our lockdown world. But for me, it certainly helps, especially if people are furloughed or they've lost their job, or even if they are still going to work, it's obviously at home, so you're not having that natural break. So I think a strong morning routine is definitely important. And especially, I think, if you are thinking about drinking, it kind of gives you something positive to wake up for. I think definitely connecting with sober friends or finding that online community, and having a good stock of alcohol-free drinks in your cupboard so you don't reach for the bottle of wine.
So I'm interested in the fact that you very much focus on a morning routine, because obviously everyone says you need routine to your day. But why do you think morning's the important bit?
Because I feel like that then sets you up for your actions for the rest of the day and puts you in a positive headspace in order to be dealing with maybe difficult emotions or triggers or things that might happen throughout the day. Whereas I think if you don't have that, you're more likely to fall into a spiral of negative actions and negative thoughts.
What's your morning routine been?
It's a mixture. I'll always do these three things, but they just might be in a different order. I always do a yoga class online. I will then meditate for 10 minutes and then I will go for a run.
Cool. There's an aspiration. I was feeling great that I've just been going for a run in the mornings, Emily, and now you've just added two other things that I haven't done on it, you know. And so what alcohol-free drinks have been getting you through this time?
I had quite a lot, actually. I have been drinking lots of lyres and making lots of different cocktails. I've had a bottle of Naughty on Sunday, Humble Warrior Kombucha, and Wildlife Botanicals. So quite a variation of drinks.
Yeah, I have nearly all really of those helpful in my cupboard too to look forward to. And I'm not drinking them every day. They're definitely in that treat box for me. I'm now looking forward to the occasions when I may get some of those things in the fridge and chill them down so that they're ready to drink in the evening.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, for me, it's like an evening thing. Or like, for example, on Sunday, obviously it was lovely weather. We had a barbecue, so it was like an occasion to open a bottle of bubbly.
Thank you so much for your time, Emily, and I'm sure we'll speak to you again soon.
That was Emily from Sober and Social. Now, would you believe it? New York City has only got one alcohol-free bar. That bar is called the Getaway Bar. This is Ali from Getaway Bar.
Hi, Laura, and hi, Club Soda. We're honored to be here as Getaway Brooklyn. My name is Ali Morris, and I'm the general manager of Getaway, which is New York City's first brick-and-mortar alcohol-free bar. You can find me at Getaway when we're reopened after all this craziness. You can also find me from time to time on our Instagram. I will be doing a series of interviews coming up with some people in the sobriety sphere, which is very exciting. I am a little more than 6.5 years alcohol-free, which is the best. Very exciting. And I will be working on my own website and Instagram. It's called The Bad Girl of Sobriety. So please check that out if you can. How are you coping with the emotions and boredom of lockdown? I would say the first piece is the emotions, or has been the emotions for me. I left New York City 2 weeks ago, and that was probably the most scary time of my whole life. It was just really terrifying for me to be there, and just also because we were the first place really in the States to get hit. So it was just a lot of nervous energy and probably just things from inside of me that were feeling extremely anxious. So I did turn to a few things. Number one, which has always been my number one, is journaling. I've kept journals my whole adult life, basically, and it really has served as like a form of free therapy for me over the years. So this time it was no different, and it was really a wonderful holding place for these unfamiliar emotions and like extreme anxiety that I was having. So I was really grateful for that. Number two is strange, perhaps ironic, but the TV show Cheers from the 80s and 90s. I don't know what it is about Cheers, but it has some kind of like medicinal properties, and it feels like a warm blanket that just wraps you up in it. Ironically, it is about a bar, which is kind of funny. It's about the camaraderie and the community of Cheers. So, you know, you do want to go where everybody knows your name, and that is what we're trying to do at Getaway without the alcohol. Oh, I was doing a lot of stress baking. I learned how to bake all kinds of things, cornbread, soups, healing teas. Also, I really, really, really had to, especially in New York, I had to cut myself off from all social media and really the news, although I did peek at the news here and there. I mean, it just really gets into your psyche, you know, in my moment-to-moment experience in that extreme anxiety. I just felt like it wasn't helpful for me to know numbers or to think about it anymore, because I was already thinking about it 23.5 hours a day. Yeah, and also boredom. Now that I'm out of New York City and I've kind of come down from that experience a little bit, I am reveling in just like relaxing a little bit more. I'm doing a lot of fun stuff for Getaway and working on that kind of stuff. and doing some personal projects, but I do not feel bored. I feel like this is kind of nice to have time for the first time to just be easy with myself. And the restaurant industry, especially in New York, can be very fast paced. And to be honest, it's kind of nice to have a break from that. I stopped drinking using Jason Vail method from his book called Kick the Drink Easily. I believe he is from the UK. He is my total hero. He saved my life. Love that guy. The day I stopped drinking was really the last of it for me. I feel so lucky. Like, his methodology is just kind of like you shut the door and there's nothing left. Like, I've been bartending in New York City and around the States for 15 years, and I was drinking a lot for a lot of those years, and I just feel like I explored everything that there was for me with alcohol. Like, we couldn't go anywhere else. There was nowhere else that I hadn't already been that it was going to take me. I just feel so lucky because of using this methodology. I just feel like I'm so lucky. It doesn't even cross my mind. Like, it doesn't even pop into my head as like an option or like something I'm considering or whatever, because in the end, alcohol really just makes things harder and worse. And this is like such a time when you don't need anything else to be harder. Please be easy on yourself. This is like literally the most crazy and stressful time of our lifetime. It's okay that you're not living up to some imagined standard for yourself or achieving some kind of perfection. There's literally a worldwide pandemic going on right now. Clearly, you're doing the best you can with what you have available right now. This might be the very best time to stop drinking if that is something that's been floating around in your mind. Like I said before, I personally believe that alcohol makes everything more difficult in the long run. And ask yourself, do you really need more stress? I mean, if you've been thinking about stopping, this could be a really good pivotal moment to declare and to really just make a decision for yourself and say, this is it. This is the craziest moment. I decided to stop drinking at this time because it was just so insane. And it's perhaps easier to close the door in a really dramatic fashion, in a really dramatic moment, like a pandemic, for instance. What AF drink is getting you through this difficult time? Oh, I like this question. First of all, I would have to say good old-fashioned water. Definitely ramping that up. A little lemon in there. That can be a real party time. Oh, yeah. And I do usually start out the day with yerba mate from South America that I really love. Later on, I usually drink some coffee. I do love caffeine, I'm not gonna lie. But in terms of my healing potions, it's been really fun. I try to make a big batch of really strong ginger tea to have on hand. And you know, you can throw some honey and lemon in there. The stronger the better. You can just feel it kind of like boosting your immunity. I've also been really excited to make reishi and chaga mushroom decoction, which is basically a fancy word for simmering it on low for like a very long time, like 10 hours on the stove or a crock pot or something. But they say that that is how these mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms, that's how you draw out and extract the healing properties from them. And I just feel like the mushrooms are here for us and they protect us. And, you know, they've been using them. People around the world have been using these forever. And I just feel their power and I love it. Another fun one is I've been making fire cider, which will put some hair on your chest, everybody. I make mine. You can make it all different ways, but it's garlic, ginger, onions, turmeric, Thai chilies. I think I'm forgetting something else. And you top it all off with apple cider vinegar and you put it in a jar and you let it sit for, you're supposed to let it sit for a month, but whatever. And then I do blend it up a little bit to get more surface area going, but whew. Take that a couple times a day and you're dancing. You know, you get the fire going. It really is a fiery cider. Thank you so much, Laura. And thank you, Club Soda. We at Getaway love you. Everybody be safe and be well.
Oh, Ali is absolutely awesome. And talking of awesome people, those of you who follow Sober Dave on Instagram. We'll be really pleased to hear he's got his top tips next.
I'm Dave, I'm 55 and I live in Wandsworth, London. My milestone is 15 months, which I'm really, really proud about. You can find me at Sober Dave on Instagram and at Sober Dave UK on Facebook and Twitter.
So Dave, this is so you actually 15 months, I still think, is a little bit of a delicate time. You've had some time under your belt, but now you're hit by what is a really weird situation where we're locked down, but also there's a lot of emotions and a lot of uncertainty. How are you dealing with that?
I feel really strong at the moment, actually, because I feel, although I'm self-employed and I've got the worries of money and whatever, I feel quite relaxed at the moment. I haven't really thought about drinking, but I'm equally aware that there are a few guys that have. So I've been breaking my days down into sort of hourly slots. My motivation is quite down. I feel quite lazy at the moment. But yeah, I've been trying to support people on my Instagram, and a few of us have created a Zoom meeting on every Saturdays now, which is a Sober Saturday Zoom meeting that people can join just to keep the community going, you know?
Yeah, I think we've got regular meetings happening as well. But I'm really interested in the fact that actually your focus has been on helping other people. Do you think that helps you keep on track as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've never gone down the AA route myself. So my main source of support has been Instagram from the beginning, because my page has always been telling my journey. So I think, you know, I think the other day we had like 60, 70 people online from all over the world. And giving back a little bit, if we're strong or I'm strong, makes you feel better about yourself. And yeah, I enjoy helping. For me, I feel grateful that I'm not struggling at the moment. And that's my focus, really.
I think it's great for other people. You know, everyone can help somebody else, even if that means going into one of the Facebook groups or on Instagram and giving a bit of moral support to somebody else. You may find if you're struggling a little bit in your own sobriety, that actually can help you. And you shouldn't just think because you're struggling, it doesn't mean you can't help other people.
No, that's exactly that, yeah. I think basically what I said about breaking the day down really helps, because it doesn't seem too big. And I think also there's times of day that we all individually have our cravings for drink. Mine was always about 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. So during those times, if you've got the cravings there, it's just really occupy yourself. You know, I think we're still allowed to go out for a walk now and exercise, or phone a friend, you know, that you could get some positive interaction with, put a film on. Do you know, I've set my bike up in the office out in the garden on a turbo trainer, so I can do a good hour on that, listening to some music, listening to some podcasts, just to occupy your mind, you know. And I just find if someone's got the old craving coming, is if you divert your mindset to something else, it soon goes.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter whether it's normal times or these difficult times. Definitely occupying your mind and really focusing on changing your mindset. Is there a drink that's getting you through these moments at the minute, Dave?
It's funny, actually, because I was always a big pint drinker. You know, I could sink them like the clappers. But I do like the old Heineken Zeros, really, because they're quite small. I find my quantity intake has reduced massively now. I only need a couple and then I feel bloated. So, you know, last night me and my wife, we sat in the garden in the sun and had a meal, and I had one bottle of Heineken Zero and it just felt really nice, you know.
But actually what you've pointed to very clearly is that sense of occasion. You can still have a meal, feel relaxed, create that moment with somebody that you care about, be it online and having an online dinner with somebody or in real life. Don't ignore the possibility of creating those moments, I guess.
Yeah, and it's something to look forward to, you know. You know, if you can have something to look forward to other than having a drink, it can be empowering for the whole day, you know. Make a nice meal, bake a cake, anything like that, you know, rather than have a drink.
That was Sober Dave. Coming up, you're going to hear more tips from Scott. Scott's from Proud and Sober. While we're talking about Scott, though, Laura, tell me, what's this quiz without beers? Tell me more about that.
So we run Queers Without Beers with partners in London, Manchester and Bristol. And Scott is hosting a weekly meetup online for all of that community. So if you're missing meeting with other like-minded people, then you can join him once a week. You can find out details on joinclubsoda.com/events or have a look at QWB_UK on Instagram and Twitter, or find us on Facebook.
Oh, thank you. All right, let's hear now then from Scott from Proud and Sober and Queers Without Beers on his top tips.
For me, lock-in so far has been interesting. I think this is such a strange time for everyone. But for me, what's really been really, really important is maintaining a sense of routine. So I did a post about this recently, actually, and for me, even at the weekends, I'm still getting up and writing a list of things at the beginning of the day that I want to achieve. I'm making sure that I exercise most days, just because we all know that that kind of makes us feel better, really taking advantage of that one time a day when you're allowed out of the house. So even if it's just for a walk over the park. But yeah, for me, it's been massively about routine, and also making sure that I'm keeping a list of gratitudes every day, because it's very easy to slip into a routine of not celebrating the small wins at the moment. For me, there are still so many positives, even though this is a horrible time. And I think it's really important to remind ourselves of those, because otherwise it could be quite easy to get bogged down. It's interesting, actually. I was thinking about this the other day. So I'll be sober, so a year and a half, on the 13th of April. So it looks like we're going to be in lockdown for that. And that's not exactly how I planned to spend my 18-month sober date. But I think what's been really interesting for me is there has been probably one or two moments where I've just had a kind of fleeting thought of, oh, I could have a glass of wine right now. But I think what's been really positive is the overriding kind of positive feeling from inside, in terms of that actually this would be so much worse if I was drinking. And for me, I was a problem drinker, so I've kind of spoken quite openly about the fact that for me it's no drink at all right now. I just think that in this situation, for me, I need to do everything that I can to make myself feel as good as possible, because like I said a second ago, it would be so easy for us to fall into this kind of quite dark trap, because we can't go out and we can't do a lot of the things that we would normally do in our life. And for me, alcohol would dampen my mood, and I really don't need that right now. So it's an interesting time. Yeah, I don't, for me, that I just know that that's not the right thing. And that's what's been quite positive for me, because this is once again confirmed that I know that if I was drinking right now, this would be a whole lot worse for me. I remember the feeling of, obviously it's slightly different in this situation, but I remember the feeling of being in a situation where I felt quite out of control, and alcohol seemed to be my only solace at the time. And I remember thinking that if I drank every night up to a certain point, it would help me and it would make me feel better. And I think that it's really, really easy to fall into that trap, especially now, because a lot of the time drinkers kind of don't necessarily become problematic because they've got a job to hold down, or they've got a routine that they need to stick to. And actually those parameters keep people quite safe sometimes in their drinking habits. And I think right now that's all gone out the window, right? I mean, we've got kind of finance directors that are educating their children at home, and we've got teachers that are still having to go into schools, and the whole world right now is just totally flipped upside down. So I think it's really, really important for you, when you do feel like you're nearing that kind of, oh, I need to drink and that's going to make me feel better, I think it's acknowledging that that thought process is there is quite a big step in itself. And whilst I might not be kind of drinking at the moment, I think what is happening for me is that if I can feel myself starting to maybe get to a point of low mood, I will pick myself up and I'll remove myself from the room that I'm in, and I will do something completely different to what I'm doing. And that might just be as simple as going to make a cup of tea, because actually I've been staring at the wall for 5 minutes because I'm feeling quite down. Or it could be something a little bit more active, and I'll go for a run, and immediately my day has changed from what could have been quite bad to something really positive. So I think my recommendation really is to try and be aware of your thought process. And when you do kind of feel like you're starting to lean on alcohol more than you would like, try to just do something different. I mean, it sounds stupid, but a puzzle, or just call a friend, or have a bar of chocolate. Like, just reward yourself or do things that make you feel good and not bad. And I think that's kind of my biggest recommendation, is just try and change it to a positive rather than allowing it to continue as a negative. It's no secret that my favorite alcohol-free drink is Calaño. I live with my parents at the moment. I'm very fortunate to live with them during this period. And they quite often on a Saturday and a Friday, like, they'll kind of get together at like 5 and they'll have like a gin and tonic or a vodka and tonic, and they'll kind of sit and just have a little chat. And it's been quite nice, because this week I kind of felt like I could be a part of that because I had my bottle of Calaño. So I had a Calaño and tonic while they had their drinks. And yeah, it just felt quite normal. And I mean, as I said, like, it's 18 months for me now, so the thought of a drink just doesn't even appeal to me anymore. But if I'm feeling like a beer, then Lucky Sam is also up there for me.
So that was Scott. Do join him if you can at Queers Without Beers. Next we have Ruth. You may remember Ruth from our festival if you came along in January. She runs Champs, who sponsored our motivation stage, and she actually is a professional in mental health and well-being, and has actually found herself very busy at this time, but she's taken some time out to give us some helpful advice about our mental health during this period.
My name is Ruth Cooper Dixon. I am the managing director of a global mental wealth people consultancy called Champs, and I have been running that company for 5 years, and we are in the middle of launching our online platform, which individuals can purchase. It's an 8-week online health and wellbeing coaching program called My Mental Wealth, and we are quite busy at the moment supporting corporates and individuals through this difficult and unprecedented time. You can find more out about the online platform at mymentalwealth.com. I'm coming up to my 18-month milestone in May the 9th, so just a little 4 weeks out from that.
It sounds like you're really busy, Ruth, but it's also a really stressful time. How are you not getting pissed? How are you keeping away from the booze?
You know what? I think there has been a time in the last 4 weeks where I've just thought, and I don't know if I actually dreamt it or whether I was actually thinking it, was the whole, I could just do with a glass of wine. And I haven't had that in the whole 18 months that really, I mean, there's obviously been points in the early days, but not really generally felt like that. That, I think that's quite interesting to recognise that. But I've been eating probably a lot of chocolate and a lot of cake during this time. That's been my way of kind of treating my body and just enjoying something nice for me. And with everything being so busy, and to be honest, dealing with everybody else's pain, worries, fears, confusion with what's going off, it hasn't really left a whole lot of headspace for me to process my own feelings and emotions. So I've actually been quite kind to myself to recognize I just need quiet space as well.
I think it's really interesting that I think it takes quite a while for your thoughts when you're in an emotional time to not go to alcohol first. It took about 3 years for me, so I'm interested that, you know, it has resurfaced in your brain more recently. Does that scare you, or are you just recognising it? How are you dealing with that?
I just recognised it, and I've had some alcohol-free options since I've been working really hard. So the other night, after a really long day, I opened a bottle of Strongbow Dark Fruits alcohol-free, and it was just
really
nice.
You're not the woman I thought you were, Ruth.
That was quite nice. And I've had alcohol-free beers in the fridge and some seed lips. So that's been nice to have those as a treat that I would do any other time I was perhaps under pressure, and I'd treat myself to a glass of wine or an alcoholic drink, the same as I would do if I was out. I wouldn't drink every night at home previously anyway. So I think that's been nice to still have that as that treat. But I do think I've noticed so much more, you know, not only the memes that are out there at the moment around drinking and, you know, now's the time to stock up. And, you know, I'm in various WhatsApp groups, which are which are either family or people who drink. And it's really interesting to see the link between, I guess, boredom and drinking. I think, and also I do believe this has a lot to do with people not used to connecting with other people in a way that they're just really quite isolated and having to perhaps sit and be comfortable with their own thoughts and feelings, which I don't think many people generally are. We're not used to doing that. And I think alcohol is definitely a way to kind of distract from some of that.
There seems to be a lot of pressure on to, now there is this time, to do things that you always wanted to have time for. But I don't think it works quite like that. And in some ways, that sort of mantra is a bit shaming. Well, if you can't do it now, then you're a complete failure. And that might put people under pressure too.
Yeah, totally. I think everyone's different, the same as pre-COVID-19, BC, before COVID. Everybody has their own journey and not everyone is going to be taking up art, picking up a musical instrument, writing a bestseller, developing a six-pack. I mean, that's not what this is about. It's actually also coupled with a whole bunch of other shit that people are having to process. And I'm taking this Easter weekend, I'm taking at least 2, maybe 3 days off. And there is a little bit of me when I was talking to someone in my team at the weekend, because I had to work to get the program out. And I'm like, what am I going to do for like 2 or 3 days? But actually, I think just not doing anything is a really good use of my time, to just sit and just watch some TV, watch some Netflix, or just listen to some music, or just do nothing. And I think this is an opportunity. If anything, this is more an opportunity about people not doing as much and having time and space just to think, and that is productive in itself. I don't think you need to, and great, hats off to you if you are doing stuff that you wanted to get done, but that's also okay not to be doing all of that.
Because you specialise in mental health, tell me a bit more about how people can look after their mental health during this time.
There's a number of ways that you can do this. I would start by boundaries, because for me, who's a huge extrovert, I've actually found the ability to have all these calls online and groups and WhatsApps quite overwhelming. Create boundaries about what you want to do. So you don't have to be on every WhatsApp group. You can mute. I found muting groups really helpful, and then checking in. I've heard people who say, I don't want to be in part of that group, and they've left, and that's fine. So work with what works for you. Tell family and friends that, you know, you appreciate them checking in, but you'll catch up with them at the end of the week or at the weekend, as you would do in a normal, you know, working week before COVID. You wouldn't speak to perhaps your family every single day. So perhaps just create those boundaries. I call them limits, around what works for you. So that's really important. But know that those people, but find those people there if you do want to chat to them. So that's also really good. Whilst we can take advantage of the, you know, ability to exercise, ability to move your body in a way that's safe and using physical distancing, be mindful about the time when you go out. You know, I run in the mornings. There's very few people out, you know, early morning, so maybe that works for you. Or now it's lighter nights, maybe going out early evening. But definitely using that time just to clear your head and just to get some headspace. Eat well, that is really important. I've been eating lots of cake and chocolate, but at the same time I've been making sure I do go to my local greengrocers, actually, which has been really different for me, to instead of going to the supermarket and just getting loads of fresh greens and veg and fruits in and nourishing your body. And finally, look for the gratitude. I'm a huge advocate of that as a positive psychology practitioner, and I regularly practice gratitude, because I think it's really important to recognize the small things that are still positive in our life, whether that's a really nice cup of coffee, whether that's you receive an email from a colleague that was quite lovely, or a really nice lunch, whatever it is. It's just the little things that you can smile and appreciate. And I think we all need to be looking for that and also being grateful for those who are risking their lives at the moment as well.
That was Ruth. She's director of Champs. Now, what about an average common old garden, lovely person that is a Club Soda member? Let's hear from one of those now. Before we do, though, how do I become a Club Soda member, Laura?
It's really easy. You can just join our email list on joinclubsoda.com, or you can just join us on our Facebook group as well. Lots of options, really easy, free to do, and you get things like this podcast delivered straight into your email inbox.
And you get money off when you order a load of alcohol-free booze.
Typical of you to remember the discount codes. Yes, if you go to things like Wise Bartender and use the code CLUBSODAVIP, you can try out a whole load of lovely alcohol-free drinks.
Amazing. Let's hear from one of our lovely members now then. This is Nicola.
Hi, I'm Nicola Owen and I'm one of the Club Soda moderators in Together and Free. Been sober for 3 years on the 13th of April 2020. Sounds quite unbelievable saying it out loud. I work as a part-time teacher and part-time wellbeing practitioner in my own business, and I'm a busy mum of two boys, Finn and Ethan. Lockdown has been a mixed bag for me, if I'm honest. A blend of homeschooling, remote teaching, being on call to go into school to teach, working on my own business, as well as reaching out to others who need help. I've tried to maintain a sort of routine that's helped me with my own wellbeing and my own mental health. Meditating and exercising have been my two winners, really. I'm not going to lie and say that being surrounded by people who are drinking and seeing it all over social media hasn't been hard to handle. It has. All I can do is focus on me and what works for me, and alcohol simply doesn't. I use the alcohol-free drinks to help me, give me that feeling of unwinding, de-stressing. My favourite are the Brewdog Punk alcohol-free and the alcohol-free gin with lots of ice and fruit and a really nice, delicious tonic in a lovely gin glass. And that's my treat to myself. It is a very difficult time, but I'm quite strong in my resolve. I know what works for me, and I'm keeping on keeping on.
Finally on this podcast, we hear from Janie Lee Grace, the Radio 2 presenter.
As some of you know, my take on everything to do with sobriety is that this, once you've ditched the booze, you're able to focus much more on your own well-being, on sort of upscaling everything, on boosting your immunity, on self-care. And right now, with everything going on, I've chosen to really try and share as much as I can about all the kind of holistic tips and well-being that I'm so passionate about. We all might be in isolation or hold up, but actually this is a fantastic time to focus on our well-being and make sure that we stay in balance and stay as optimistic as it's possible to be. So I'm calling this self-isolation period self-care isolation. You know, they do say where attention goes, energy flows, something like that. Anyway, obviously right now, globally, there's so much attention on crisis, on calamity and fear. And we can't magic that away, sadly. We can't just be glib about it and pretend it's not happening. We all have to be responsible and recognise the gravity here. But what we can do is focus on remaining safe and well and connected to each other. Fear is so contagious, but so is hope and love. So if we can all try to be part of the solution rather than the problem, then we need to start with looking after our own well-being before we can, you know, reach out and help others. So anyways, I came up with this little acronym for self-care. And obviously, if the words don't resonate with you, you can replace your own. But it might just be a reminder around some of the basics. So self-care then, S, of course, stands for sobriety. And there really has never been a better time to be sober. I am so grateful right now that I don't have to panic about pubs closing and shops being emptied of alcohol. And oh my goodness, you know, we have to remember that alcohol lowers our immunity and obviously increases our anxiety levels. So don't let stress send you back to your old habits. Stay sober. It's an amazing time to be sober. But S, given that many of you will already have that, you've got this, S also stands for sleep. And we really need lots of it. You know, right now we need to practice good sleep hygiene. So leave the devices out of the room, maybe have a magnesium salt bath, Use lavender essential oil if you have any, a few drops in a burner. Do some, write in a journal before you go to sleep, or just find a way of calming your mind before you actually try and hit the pillow. E stands for exercise. Obviously, our gyms and swimming pools and classes are cancelled, but there's, as you're well aware, amazing online classes. Pilates, yoga, gym sessions, there's everything online, masses of home workouts. And at this time of recording, we can still walk in nature, and nature is just so amazingly good for us at this time. Interestingly, I don't know if you'd fit it with exercise, but posture is also amazingly important. And if you're feeling as if you are going into sort of fight or flight mode and you're feeling panicky, you can just stand tall, adopt your power pose and, you know, stand tall. It sends a message to the brain that you're feeling OK. Look up, maybe think of your favourite colour, adopt your posture there. And just that, it gives that kind of nanosecond of reminding yourself that actually you are OK when you're feeling super panicky. L stands for love. Self-love at this time is so important. You know, don't listen to the inner critic that's telling you you aren't good enough, you aren't coping with this as well as everyone else is. Obviously, love for others is key, and that's what I mean by this sense of community that we can still have even though we can't meet in person. Love in action is the one amazing thing that can come out of all of this, in whichever way you can find to show love to other people as well as to yourself. C is for connection, that love in action, that connecting with others. There are many ways of making connections online. People are having virtual meetings, virtual dinner parties. But C is also for creativity. And this is a fantastic time to learn a language. And then, well, all the ings, actually, all the ings. So you can get baking, singing, painting, knitting, gardening, decluttering, all the ings apart from drinking. A stands for awe, as in A-W-E. It's that sense of wonder, because we can still appreciate little things. We can still feel uplifted and inspired. We can still see some daffodils blooming and the sky blue, yeah? And A also stands for appreciation. So keeping gratitude lists right now is really important. Detailed gratitude lists, so that we can remind ourselves of what we actually do have. We can appreciate what we've got. R stands for resources. What is it that keeps you going? Everyone is different as to how we kind of top up our battery levels. For some people, it's walking in nature. For some, it's sitting by an open fire. Perhaps it's reading a particular book or having a bath with essential oils or great nutrition. And of course, there'll be some things that I can't do anymore that are your resources. But get in touch with what does do it for you, however small. And E is for energy. This is a time to keep your energy flowing, but to stay grounded. So a really simple tip is to take off your shoes or stand or lie on the earth, because it really helps you to feel calm and grounded. And another thing is to connect with your own energy around this time, and take some time to meditate, to visualize, to go within. If we're constantly frantically just watching the media or listening to news reports, it can feel, well, exhausting and really chaotic. And I think you have to come back to focusing on your own personal energy and how you can strengthen that, so you can remain calm. So there you go. There's your little acronym for self-care. And I wish you well. Stay safe. Check out the podcasts and the blog posts at thesoberclub.com.
And if any of you are interested, Nicola, since changing her drinking, has gone through a big life change and is now doing wellbeing sessions in her local area. And she's hosting a mindful wellbeing session in Club Soda every Monday evening. And you can find details of that on joinclubsoda.com/events. That's a wrap, Vinny.
That was a really cool podcast, a bit different. So normally, if you listen to our monthly podcast, there's obviously a lot talking about the events. That's changed a bit. There's a lot of interviews. But this was a really nice, concise way of looking at this current moment and various other people's thoughts on how to cope.
So there's not one size fits all in this space, and so I'm hoping you've heard a breadth of advice from people, and we've got loads more. I put out a request and everybody was really generous in sending us some audio, so look out for part two of this podcast very shortly.
Thanks. My name's Vinny. That is Laura. Do join us. Become a community member. It's easy to do. Be part of the community. That's something I think we're all missing a little bit at the moment. Get yourself to joinclubsoda.com. Thanks, Laura.
Bye.
Nice talking to you. I miss your lovely face, but, you know, this will do.
He's lying.
This was mixed and produced in the UK by We Make Podcasts. For more information, go to wemakepodcasts.uk.